We're starting tonight in Galatians chapter number 5, great chapter in God's Word. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll turn in our Bibles, and we will read some scripture out of Galatians chapter number 5. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come tonight, and I am so thankful for your blessings. I'm thankful for your sweet Holy Spirit, and I'm thankful, Lord, that any good thing that is done, we know that it comes from you. The Bible says every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither changing. Lord, we know that you do not change. We know you're there. We know you hear prayer. We pray for our country and we pray for our world. We pray for our leaders and the leaders of other nations. We pray for all those that are involved in health care. We pray for the doctors, the nurses. Lord, we know some people personally that are serving with Samaritan's Purse, and they're up in New York, and Lord, that's a place that's been hit really hard by this, so we really pray for our friends and people that we know that are doing things like that. We pray for all of our missionaries as we've been reading through the missionary prayer letters, and every missionary family is affected by what is going on. So we pray for them, their churches, ministries, outreach. Some of them, those that are in other countries, some of them are not even able to get outside the house, and everything they're doing has just been stopped for right now. And so they're praying and looking for ways to still minister in the midst of all this. So Lord, help us and touch our nation and touch our Bible study tonight and speak to us from your word and have your will. And help us and help the Wi-Fi to stay up and strong and all like that. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. So we are in Galatians chapter number 5. And I want you to turn in your Bibles and follow along with us. Galatians chapter number 5. Now I always say this. It doesn't matter what I say. Don't go away and say I was watching Facebook Live and Preacher Wynn said this. What is important is what the Bible says. And when the Bible says it, that settles it. So we want to look to the Bible, see what God's Word says, and we're going to give sort of a long introduction tonight to the book of Galatians chapter number 5. And so I want you to find that in your Bible, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Now I'm going to stop right there in verse number 7, but really this first part goes down through verse number 15, but there's no way I'm going to be able to get that far tonight. In fact, what we're going to have in the beginning of this chapter is just sort of a long introduction to the theme of chapter number 5. It only took me 16 lessons, that's up to last week, to get to the chapters that I really, when I started this study in the book of Galatians, the part that really inspired me to start studying the book, and that is what we find in Galatians chapter number 5 and chapter number 6. So all that is background up to this point, or all of that leads up to this point. Now, quickly, the little outline that we've been using, chapter 1 and chapter 2 go together, 3 and 4, 5 and 6. That's the outline. So chapter 1 and chapter 2 in the book of Galatians is personal. It is the personal testimony of the Apostle Paul. And it's important for us to understand Paul's testimony of salvation. You see, the Apostle Paul came from the background of, he came from the background of the law unto salvation. So he was a Jew, he was a Pharisee, He was very observant of the law. He knew the law, all of these things. He knew those things. He comes from the background of the law unto salvation by grace through faith. Now, the Galatians, they are heading in the opposite direction. They, if we've been studying along with us, chapter 1, chapter 2, 3, and 4, they have been saved by faith, but they are heading back under the law. You see, Paul came out of the law unto salvation by grace. The Galatians are trying to go from a point of salvation by grace back under the law. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to them to correct them from the error of their ways. Now, let me just quickly point out, there's a verse here we're going to deal with a little more later on, but I quickly want to touch on it because if you read along with us, you probably caught on to this verse, this subject of falling from grace. Paul deals with the subject of falling from grace in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 4. And he said, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, most of the time when you hear that phrase, if you're familiar with it at all, you've probably heard it in relation to somebody talking about losing your salvation. Fallen from grace, as we find it in the Bible, is not talking about losing your salvation. What falling from grace is trying to live under the law after you've been saved by the grace of God. Going back under the law, the bondage of the law, after you've been saved by the grace of God. And Paul told the Galatians that in doing that, they had fallen from grace. It is not talking about losing your salvation. It's talking about going back away from what God has done for you by grace in your life and trying to go back under the Old Testament law. Paul said you've fallen from grace. So we find his personal testimony in chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we'll deal with that a little more later on. In the second part of our outline, this covers chapter 3 and chapter number 4. Chapter 3 and chapter 4 are doctrinal. And the theme of chapter 3 and chapter 4 is justification by faith. They were justified by faith, not by the works of the law. If you look back in chapter 3, verse number 8, I'll give just a quick review of some of the things we've covered. Chapter 3, verse number 8. The Bible said, "And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Not through the law, but through faith, through believing. That is the theme of chapter 3 and chapter number 4. And you hear that phrase many times, justified by faith, justification by faith. The law does not save anybody. It never has saved anybody. The whole purpose of the law is to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ and to show us that we cannot keep the law. That's what the law does. You ever tried to keep the law? Well, you find out before you ever try to keep it that you've already broke it. The law doesn't save anybody. The law points us to Christ. Chapter 3, verse number 24. Let me read that. This is a great verse. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." That justified by faith is a Bible phrase. And it would help us if we would stick to the Bible in our terminology. We believe we're justified by faith, by believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the theme of chapter 3 and chapter 4. It is doctrinal. Now we come to chapter 5 and chapter 6. It is practical. Practical. Now, what does that mean? The teaching of Galatians chapter 5 and chapter 6 is practical. It is for the Christian. And what chapter 5 and chapter 6 could answer the question, what does faith lived out in our lives look like? What does faith lived out in our lives look like? What should a Christian's life look like? And here's the answer to that question. Faith lived out looks like the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus was lived, it was lived by love through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Christian's life ought to look like. It ought to look like the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, not like the lives of the Pharisees or the legalizers. The legalizers lived by the law, and they had no spirit. No spirit about them. So we're going to see in Galatians chapter number 5, and we're going to come to the part that talks about the fruits or the fruit of the Spirit. What does faith lived out look like? That's what we're going to learn. Now, chapter 5, verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Stand fast. Now, that is a defensive term. It is a term that is used in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11, where it says we're to stand against the wiles of the devil. If you made a football analogy, the defensive lineman would understand. The offensive lineman, they've got to stand fast in their position. We are to stand fast in our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to take a defensive position against those who would displace our liberty in Christ, who would get us to looking to or living for something besides the liberty that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is serious stuff Paul's talking about. He says, stand fast in the liberty. Don't let anybody take your liberty away that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand fast. Be on guard. Watch out for those that would infiltrate, that would displace our liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there were two extremes in Paul's day, and there are two extremes in our day. Just because the Bible is thousands of years old does not mean that it does not apply to our lives. It is very applicable to our lives today. What Paul dealt with, we're dealing with the same things today. And so there were two extremes in Paul's day. There's two extremes in our day. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. One extreme was the law. Those who used the law to try to be saved. And we find an example of that here in verse number 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Those who were living under the extreme of the law, they come along, and their attitude was this: I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do, and don't. Well, the other side of the ditch, and usually there's two sides, and they're both stuck, one extreme or the other. One was the extremity of the law. The other was the extremity of license. Now, license we find in verse number 13. I'm going to skip on down and read that verse. Paul said this: For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, those that lived under the law, they said, I don't do this and I don't do that. Those who lived under license, they lived by the ideology, I do anything I want to do. I do this and I do that. Hey, I'm saved. I've got a license to live any old way that I want to. Now, let me say this. If your brand of Christianity is characterized by what you do or do not do, you are doing it wrong. If people look at you in your Christian life, and we're talking about what does real faith lived out in our lives look like, our lives ought to look like the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if our lives are characterized by what we do or do not do, we're doing it wrong. We're presenting the wrong image, and we're trying to live the Christian life under the power of our own energy. And Paul says, when you do that, you've fallen from grace. If I'm trying to get to heaven and please God by the energy of my flesh, I've fallen from grace. What the grace of God is really able to do in my life. Now, you say, I don't understand that. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. So Paul says, stand fast in the liberty. Look what it says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now, the first group, the legalizers, they come along and they don't. And so that's what their whole lives are characterized by. And you can see them coming a mile away, but they don't. And they'll let you know real quick there's things they don't know, they don't do. And some examples. Now, this wouldn't be in the case of everybody, because every church, every denomination, every region of the world has different things. But these legalizers, they're characterized by things they don't do. And so just some examples. What don't they do? Well, they don't go to the movies, for example. They don't have TV in their home. I've known many people down through the years. And if you don't have a TV, I don't care. You know, I don't think Jesus cares if you have a TV. What Jesus cares about is what you watch on TV. But if I make a major deal and the emphasis of my ministry is on not having TV, and I've known people like that, but they had a computer or a smartphone. If you are not having TV because of what it can bring into your home, you better get rid of that computer and you better get rid of that smartphone. But that's a legalizing thing. No, don't have TV. That's wrong. But I've had people say, well, I got to have a computer. That's essential for my ministry. But you can use a computer for anything. If you take that line of thinking as far as you can go, well, you shouldn't have a radio either, because you might hear something on the radio that's not edifying to the Lord. And so there are those men. They'll let you know quick what they do not do. I have known men down through the years that they have taken a position that they do not shave. You know, they don't shave their face. Because Adam had a beard, Moses had a beard, and Abraham had a beard, and King David had a beard, and Jesus had a beard. The Bible says they plucked his beard out. And there's no Gillette razors in the Garden of Eden. And if you shave, that makes you effeminate. You know, so they have a beard. But then there's another crowd that will come along, and they do not have facial hair. I've heard the argument both ways. I've heard it preached from pulpits. Well, now, if that lion hadn't had a beard, David wouldn't have killed him. You ever heard that? You know, the Bible says David, he slew a lion and a bear, and he grabbed the lion by the beard, and that's their theological reason why you should not have a beard, because David grabbed the lion by the beard and killed him, is what the Bible says. And so if we're not careful, our lives can be characterized by what we don't do. Ladies, you know, I don't wear pants. I don't wear makeup. I don't wear jewelry. I don't get my ears pierced. And on and on and on we could go. There's some, they don't eat in certain places. And they don't drink. And they don't, get piercings and tattoos and they don't say certain words and on and on. And I'm not saying any of that or all of that is bad, but I'm saying if we're characterized by what we don't do, we're no different than the Pharisees. The other group now, the licentious crowd, that's what that word means, license to sin. They're characterized, and there are many Christians in our day and time that are characterized by what they do. And they also, just like the Pharisee side, they're on the other side, and they'll let you know quick what they do. They do what they want to do. They go to church when they want to go to church, if they go to church, and they drink if they want to drink, and they say a curse word if they want to say a curse word, and they are in for all kinds of worldly entertainment. They're not bothered a bit about that, and they live how they want, they go where they want, they wear what they want, and on and on and on, they do what they want to, and restraint of any kind is not a part of their language. Now, the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 3 that there will come a generation in the last days that will be characterized by, we are rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. And that's where we are in America today. You know, we don't need God. Well, I hope things are changing a little bit along those lines. The Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter number 30, verse number 12. Let me read a verse of scripture. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Now, there are Christians, and they will flat out tell you, you know, they've got the attitude, well, I've been saved, and Jesus washed my sins away, and he wants us to enjoy the things of this life. Here's the thing. You don't find that attitude in the Bible. The Bible teaches us that we're not to use liberty as a license to sin. It teaches us that in the book of Galatians and in the book of Romans. But they'll do anything they want to do in the name of liberty. And they'll say, well, I'm saved, I have liberty. But actually, they're taking a license. They're taking freedom to do things that Christians ought not to do. And here's the joke. And it's not really a joke. It's sad. But the joke's on them, because there are many Christians that live their life in such a way that lost people look at them, and lost people know that Christians should not be doing what they're doing. And that happened in Bible days, 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. And I'm not going to get into that tonight, but it also happens in our day and time. There are Christians that take a liberty, they take a license to live any old way and do any old thing. And even lost people know they shouldn't be living like that. Well, where's the truth of all this? The truth of all this is in the liberty that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are justified by faith. That is the teaching of chapter 3 and chapter number 4. We are sanctified by the Spirit of God. And we find that teaching in chapter number 5 and chapter number 6. Now, the Spirit of God calls us to a higher plane of living than the law. You say, preacher, you're throwing off on the law and you're saying, Christian. I'm not saying anybody ought to, has, what I'm saying is this. The Spirit of God calls us to live on a higher plane than the law. And the Spirit of God calls us to live on a higher plane than the best you can do. Because a lot of people are saying, well, I'm doing the best I can do. But the Spirit of God calls us to live higher than both of those things. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, he did not adopt the, he did not imitate the religious leaders of his day. Have you ever thought about that? Now, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the lawyers, Jesus did not imitate them. He did not try to be like them. They were all trying to live by the law. But when Jesus came, he did not do that. Now, the Pharisees, you could see a Pharisee a mile away. That's the second time I've said that tonight. But, you know, you could see him coming down the road. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, the way they lived their lives, they dressed different, they talked different, they worshiped different. They had these things called phylacteries, which were little boxes of scripture. And they would write scripture on those boxes, and they would strap them. And I've even seen in some big cities Orthodox Jews that do the same thing today. And they would tie them to their arms and around their forehead. And man, you could see them. And they would stand out on the corner, and they would pray aloud for everybody to see. That's what Jesus was talking about in the book of Matthew when he said, when you pray, be not as the hypocrites are. Don't stand on the corner so everybody can see you. He said, go into your closet and shut the door. Jesus said, don't be like that religious crowd. Jesus did not imitate the religious leaders of his day. Now, he could have. But he did not do that. Yet, he fulfilled the law perfectly. You don't have to put on a religious show to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't act like the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He didn't act like any of that crowd. But he perfectly fulfilled the law. Now, the Pharisees looked at the life of the Lord Jesus and they accused him of being a sinner. They said, he's a sinner because he eats with the sinners and the publicans. And let me say, that's not the Republicans. This has got nothing to do. The publicans were tax collectors and everybody hated them. Some things never change, do they? But the Lord Jesus, he went to the sinner, he went to the publican, he went to those that needed him, and they said, well, if he knew what kind of woman she was, he would never allow her, you know. They accused him of being a sinner because he wasn't acting like they were acting. But the Lord Jesus, he did go to the sinners. He did go to the downtrodden. He did go to those who were not Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and religious lawyers and all like that. But although he went to them, he did not adopt their lifestyle. He went to the woman at the well who had five husbands, and she was living with a man who was not her husband. But the Lord Jesus didn't start acting like her, but he went to her. All that they could say about the Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it said about him, he went about doing good. That's what his life was characterized by. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, although he came to sinners, he was still holy, harmless, undefiled. That's what the Bible says. Separate from sinners. He came to sinners, but he didn't start acting like sinners. There's a lot of things in there that could help us. His life, his ministry was characterized by one great motivating factor, and that was his love for mankind. That's what people ought to know us by. That we live a life like the Lord Jesus Christ that is motivated by love and is compelled, strengthened, enriched by the Spirit of God, not by our own efforts, but what the Spirit of God does in our lives. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, quickly. The Bible said, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Our lives ought to be characterized and motivated by love. Now, that's a long introduction to what we're going to get into in chapter number 5. But our privilege in the Lord Jesus Christ is this liberty that he has given us. We don't have to live under the law. And we're not under bondage to sin. We don't have to live under bondage to that. We have liberty. And the Bible says, stand fast. We need to have a defensive position concerning what Christ has done for us. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now, look what he says in the last part of verse number 1. He says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's talking about going back under the law. The law is a yoke of bondage. And here's the thing about the law. You cannot just pick and choose what you want to from the law. I'll be honest, I don't go around every day thinking to myself, now I don't need to kill anybody today, or I shouldn't steal anything, or, you know, you think about the Ten Commandments, but it's not just the Ten Commandments that we're concerned about. That is part of the law, but the law is this. The law is a all or nothing proposition. You either keep all of the law or you keep none of the law. If you break one point, you've broken the whole law. James chapter 2, verse 10 said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You can't just come along and say, well, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not going to work on Saturday. You know, Saturday is the true Sabbath day, by the way. And they do have that right. You know, that's Seventh-day, and that's what they say. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to keep that part of the law, and I'm not picking on Seventh-day Adventists, I doubt seriously if any are watching, but if they are, you know, you can't just come along and say, well, I'm going to obey that. And that's what my life is going to be characterized by. If you're going to say that, you know, you got to keep all the Ten Commandments. If you're going to keep the law, you got to keep all the Sabbath day and all the extra Sabbath days. That's a whole other thing under the Old Testament. You got to keep the holy days, the feast days, the Passover, on and on and on that you go. You got to be circumcised. You cannot wear a linen and woolen garment. A garment that has linen and wool in it under the law. Man, there's a lot of laws. There's over 600 laws. If you were going to keep the law, the Bible said they were an agricultural society. They could not mingle their seed, the seed that they're planting their crops with. And so that would mean, you know, if you want to try some merit and some peaches and cream corn one year, you broke the law. You can't do that. I used to grow peaches and cream or something like that. I'd go and I'd honey select. Boy, you ever tried honey select corn? It's great. But also, I'd plant some popcorn. It's two totally different kinds of corn, but if I put them in the same field, I've broken the law. You could not plow with an ox and a cow together. If you do that, you've broken the law. And on and on and on and on you go. There are many, many laws. If you break one of them, you broke them all. That's the thing about the law. Now the Pharisees, the legalizers that came to the Galatians, that were trying to put them back under the law, the legalizers, they claimed to live by the law, but they were in bondage to the law, and they still couldn't keep the law. And the thing about them was, they were continually trying to convert others to their failed spiritual life, their failed way of living. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, His life was full of love. He loved sinners. He went to sinners. There's one group that He singled out, and He was very hard on. And it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was the religious people. And let me read some verses out of Matthew chapter number 23. Starting in verse number 15, the Bible said this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte." They go everywhere to try to win somebody over to their way of life. They went everywhere to win a proselyte. "And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold?" And so he called them hypocrites, and they were trying to win people, and that's the ones that the Lord Jesus Christ was so hard on, was the scribes and the Pharisees and all like that. Let me say, if a preacher is trying to convert you to his legal system and not to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is just a modern day Pharisee. If you in your church, if you have to live by a man-made system of touch not, taste not, handle not, to be in the in crowd, if that is how you are living your spiritual life, you are living under the reign of modern day Phariseeism. You say, "Oh, preacher, I can't believe you're saying those things. You're saying you can go out." And I'm not saying you can go out and do anything. I'm saying we've been delivered from the law. We don't have to live by a religious law system anymore, because we've been delivered from that by the grace of God, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe everything I've ever believed, but the more I study the Bible, I believe it more. When I was a younger preacher, I saw the Bible and I saw myself. But as an older preacher, not an old preacher, but older than I used to be, I see the Bible and I see more than ever the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, He died upon the cross, He paid our sin debt. He has delivered us from that life of legalism and the life of license. And let me say, living a life of license, I'll do anything I want to, and living, that's a form of bondage as well. You know, young people say, I want to do what I want to do. But if they're not doing what the crowd's doing, they're not accepted by the crowd. They're not free either. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have liberty. What a blessing that is. So Paul says, stand fast in the liberty. Don't let anybody take your liberty. Why do you want to go back and be entangled again with the yoke of bondage? Look at verse 2 and 3. I'm almost done. He said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Circumcision was what we might say the badge of the law. The badge of the law. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, nobody else was doing that. If you young people don't know what that is, ask your parents. But the Greeks weren't doing that. The Romans weren't doing that. The Gauls, people were not doing that. That was exclusively a Jewish thing. And the Apostle Paul is saying to the Galatians, these Gentile believers, if you go and submit to circumcision, which these legalizers were coming along and preaching to them, you need to be circumcised. Paul is saying it's not going to profit you anything spiritually. You're not going to gain anything spiritually. There's no benefit to that whatsoever, spiritually speaking. It's not going to help you any. That is not what the Lord Jesus Christ is calling us to do, is to come back under the law. It was a failed system. Nobody ever kept the law. Nobody was ever saved by trying to keep the law. And here the Galatians are trying to go back under the law. I'm reading a series of books right now. This is probably about the third time I've read them in 16 years or something like that. I just read it for entertainment. And it's a series of books by a veterinarian whose name is James Herriot. All creatures great and small, the Lord God made them all, something like that. I can't remember the titles to all of them, but it's four books, and he's a veterinarian. And he started practice in the 1930s in the country of England. This is by way of illustration. And so he said that the old-time farmers, they always had remedies for everything. They had antidotes and liniments and potions, and they had all these crazy things that came out of the 16, 17, 1800s that had been passed along, how to treat horses and cattle and pigs and livestock. And he said these farmers would mess around with their livestock for days and days and sometimes weeks on end. And you know, they're trying Dr. So-and-so's miracle hoof rock cure or whatever it was. And the farmers would mess around for days and weeks on end. And finally, when the animal was almost dead, they'd call the vet. And the veterinarian would come out and he would have something that sometimes he could help the animal with. And so he would treat the animal, he would go away, and in a day or two, the farmer would ring him up or come to town and talk to him, and he'd say, I shouldn't have got you out there. Uncle so-and-so's remedy cured my cow. And the vet said he just wanted to pull his hair out. He could never get credit for anything that he did because they were trusting in them old remedies. Now, the Galatians were saved by the grace of God. They couldn't get any more saved. They were justified by faith. The legalizers come along and they say, no, you need to try this. You need to be circumcised. Now you're better. Now you're better. But not really. Paul said this old failed remedy is not going to profit you. If you're saved by the grace of God, going back under the law, trying to be a law keeper is not going to make you grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to just bring you into bondage. And here's the thing. The Apostle Paul had already been there and tried that old remedy. And the old remedy doesn't work. But there is a real remedy, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came. He died upon the cross. He lived a life that fulfilled the Old Testament law of God. He died as our perfect sacrifice. John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 29. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He came to be our remedy. Why are you trying to go back to this old failed system? When the answer has come, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's the way to heaven. That's the way to live a Christian life. His life lived through us. And that's what we're going to find in Galatians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter number 6. And it is a wonderful book. And I hope you'll join me every week as long as we need to do this. And then maybe hopefully one glorious day we'll be back in church on Wednesday night. I look forward to that. But I'm enjoying this. The Spirit of God makes it real to my heart. And I hope it's been a blessing to you. Let me mention before we close tonight that if you have a special prayer request, if you will just type it into the comments, all of us that are in the church, all of us that are watching, and there's people from all over the country watching tonight, and we're thankful for that. We can all pray for one another. Let's remember our nation. I'm going to pray, and then we'll close the broadcast tonight. Father, I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus. And if there's anybody here tonight that, Lord, does not know you and what it means to be saved, I pray you'd touch them. I pray you'd show them their great, great need of salvation. Please, Lord, touch our country, touch our world. Help us, turn us unto thee. Give us a great revival in these last days. Lord, we thank you. We come, we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Let me quickly mention, this come to my mind. If nothing changes, if it does, we'll get an announcement out, but tune in Sunday morning, this coming Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and we will have our Sunday morning live Facebook service in. It's Easter Sunday. We're excited about that. And the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so, God bless you. Hope you have a great rest of the week. And God bless you is our prayer.